praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org or reach us toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. If you've been to any weddings lately, you very likely may have heard this passage quoted from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for a husband is head of the wife, even as also Christ is head of the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Yes, this is the exhortation that nearly every Christian couple begins their married life with. Yet as good as these verses are, they neglect one important thing. How can we do it? How can wives submit? How can husbands love to such a degree? If we don't offer couples these verses in the context of chapter 5, including verse 18, we may not be serving them faithfully. In fact, we may be setting them up for failure. Bob Danker has joined us, who's had many years of married life, I think, to back up your fellowship in addition to your enjoyment and understanding of the Word. Bob, welcome to the program.
It's good to be with you again, Chris. I'm very grateful for this particular matter that we're going to cover in our program today, because I feel it can be a tremendous help to those who really desire to have a proper marriage, and I think most Christians do.
Sure.
Now we need to know how can we have a marriage such as the one that is presented to us in Ephesians chapter 5, which is really a model or a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church.
Our program very much continues the program yesterday. We began to touch these matters. Francis Ball was here, and he even mentioned, as we were fellowshipping on these portions, how often he himself had used these verses in conducting wedding meetings and helped young couples and many couples start their married life. But as we saw yesterday, I think it'll be reinforced again. It gives it a very fresh understanding when we look at it as Paul really presented it, and that included the verses just prior, and most specifically verse 18. So maybe you could say a little bit about that as an introduction, Bob.
Well, if you read these verses in Ephesians 5, where Paul says that we should not be drunk with wine, but we should be filled in spirit, then he tells us, in the next few verses, how to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
He says we should be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and psalming with our heart to the Lord. Then he says that we should give thanks at all times for all things. And then he says that we should be subject to one another in the body of Christ. All the members of the body, small or great, should be subject to one another. This is Paul's description of how to be filled in spirit, and it also describes the result of being filled in spirit.
Right.
We will do all these things if we are filled in spirit. And then right after he says, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, the very next thing he says is, wives, be subject to your husbands. So you can see that this matter of the relationship between husband and wife is directly connected with the foregoing verses that speak about our being filled in our spirit.
So the strong implication of this context is that the submitting described in for the wives in verse 22 flows out of the being filled that precedes it in these verses we just talked about.
Exactly. It flows out of it, and it also causes it.
And it causes it.
It's related in both ways, but it's definitely related to it. And if we separate wives,
yes,
submit to your husbands, from being filled in spirit, we make a big mistake. We bring in the law.
Yeah.
And there's no grace. There's no supply for us to fulfill such a high demand.
And in fact, it can result in a tremendous bondage, as anything that becomes the law to us apart from Christ himself and his enabling life operating within us, to really try to be a submissive wife or a husband that loves to such a degree. And we'll touch that a little bit about the degree to which Christ loves the church and really the kind of love that describes. So this is a saving word today, isn't it, Bob?
I feel so, Chris.
Well, actually, three categories of relationships are described by Paul in this same vein. First, of course, the relationship of husbands and wives. Then in chapter 6, he opens children, obey your parents in the Lord. So we have parents and children as the second set. And finally, in verse 5, chapter 6, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters. So three sets that really describe all levels of human relationships and how much all of our relationships need this filling by Christ himself as the life-giving spirit in our being. Why don't we join Witness Lee?
Living in the relationship between wife and husband. From verse 25 of chapter 4 to the beginning of chapter 6. In such a long portion, Paul gives us all the details of a life that is worthy of God's calling. Number one, we have to live according to the truth by grace. Then in chapter 5, we have to live in love and in light. Then we have to be filled in our spirit. Even to be filled in our spirit is a detail of the life that is worthy of God's calling. Under this kind of living, filled in our spirit, at least here Paul gives us three aspects. The aspect concerning the relationship between wives and husbands, then the aspect concerning the relationship between children and parents, and the last aspect concerning the relationship between slaves and masters. When you are going to talk about wives and husbands, don't forget the infilling. The marriage life, properly speaking, is an aspect of our infilling. We need to be infilled in our spirit. Then we could have a proper marriage life. The proper marriage life is just one aspect of our infilling.
Bob, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're really covering much of the same ground that we did yesterday in the program, but I think because it's such a fresh weight in which to view these verses, this passage, this well-known passage in Ephesians 5 related to the marriage relationship, it's really worth our time to linger on it, isn't it?
I feel it is. I think it's worthwhile for me.
Yeah.
And for all of us, actually, to see this matter of being filled in our spirit as a very crucial detail related to our daily life, a life that is worthy of God's calling. If we're not filled in our spirit with the life-giving spirit and all the riches of Christ, this means filled in the depths of our being with this wonderful person and all his riches, then really we don't have the supply for living a proper Christian life, a proper family life, Christian life of any kind. We need the riches of Christ to fill our spirit and even to overflow in our relationships with one another. And the most intimate relationship, of course, is between the husband and the wife. And I say this is a very good lesson for us in how to read the Bible. These verses about husbands and wives, as you have mentioned, have been quoted thousands upon thousands of times. But I wonder if anyone in quoting them ever related them to the context in which they were written by Paul.
Right.
When we read the Bible, we shouldn't just pull verses out of context. We should read the context, because in the context we get tremendous light and tremendous help. And here I feel we have a great key how to have a real proper married life, a relationship between a wife and a husband.
Well, it takes the living out of this relationship and puts it in the context of really the whole New Testament that we see in this ministry unlocked, and that is God's economy, that apart from God dispensing himself as the life element, the life essence, the life power into our being to not just to live a proper married life, but to live the Christian life is just out of our reach. It's out of our grasp, but this puts it all within the grasp of the life that is living and operating in us.
Absolutely right, Chris. Actually, the requirement on the wife and the husband is very high. And without this divine life and its capacity within us, we cannot reach the standard. But with the divine life as dispensed into us by the life-giving Spirit, then we can rather easily live out such a marriage life or Christian life of the highest standard, unattainable in any other way by our natural human life.
Well, we're going to spend the next section focusing on the first part of this verse about wives submitting to your own husbands. And I think a very meaningful insight is going to be presented here for all married couples. I think we can all benefit. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Concerning the ordinary teachings, exhortations in the Bible, you all got to know already. The wives should submit. But Paul says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. The word own strikes something. Why the Apostle Paul uses the word own? The word own indicates a kind of comparison. There is not only your husband, there are so many husbands of others, right? If you are short of grace, if you do not live in the light of God, you would have comparison. So, submit yourself to your own husband implies some kind of comparing what's going on. From this point, many of you have never seen. Why the Apostle Paul says, submit yourself to your own husband? Because deep within you, you appreciate others' husband. The thing is so strange. It is subtle of Satan. In every comparison, all the wives would say their own husband are not so good as others. Not only the wives have the comparison, even the husband also have the comparison. Right after marriage, you compare your wife with other's wife. This is what? This is the initiation of the evil. This is the beginning of separation. This is the beginning of divorce. This is the beginning of sinful things in the marriage life. So this means if you do live a life that is worthy of God's calling, a life according to the truth, a life by grace, a life even deeper in love and in light, you will hate comparison. Whenever comparison came in, you just cut off the head of this comparison. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Husband, love your own wife.
Well, Bob, I think clearly what we see here is exactly what happens when we try to live the married life without the infilling. Inevitably, it leads to this condition. I thought his perspective, of course, his wisdom here is really manifested. The comparison that begins, and once comparison begins, actually the marriage begins to end, doesn't it?
That's right. I feel this word is extremely helpful and even a rescue.
Yeah.
We can see here that this matter of comparison is something of Satan's subtlety to come in to damage and even to terminate marriages. Actually, Chris, after a while, after we're married a while, we notice some faults in our spouse, some things that are not so pleasing to us. So then we're tempted to compare. But actually, if we are living the way that Ephesians describes, a life of full of truth, a life by grace, a life in love and light, with the infilling of the Spirit, we would never compare our spouse with anyone else's spouse. We would not do such a thing. In fact, as Witness Lee pointed out, if we ever were tempted to do that, we would cut off the head of that comparison. We would chop off the head.
Right.
In other words, we would terminate it right away because we would realize this is the subtle one coming in. But if we are not filled in our spirit, not walking in love and not walking in light, then we don't have the discernment and we are easily trapped by the enemy to do such a thing. And this leads, as Witness Lee pointed out, to many, many problems, even separations and divorces in the marriage relationship. So we have to avoid this kind of thing at any cost. And actually, if we are filled in our spirit, if we walk in love and light, we will not pay so much attention to our spouse's shortcomings. We will simply love our spouse. And love does not take account of shortcomings. It simply loves, that's all. And if we walk in light, we would never be carried into any kind of dark comparison. Actually, to compare is something in darkness.
You know, verse 21, which you quoted a moment ago, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ, there's a very good footnote in the recovery version on the phrase, in the fear of Christ there. And I thought of it as you were talking about how we would be quick to cut this off, cut the comparison off. The fear there is related to our offending Christ in his headship. And that the comparison, honestly, in addition to affecting our relationship with our wife, that kind of comparing in a marriage is an offense to Christ the head, isn't it? And that's the fear, the healthy fear that we need to have here.
I agree. If we do this kind of comparing, we offend the Lord. Actually, it's the Lord who gave us our spouse and who arranged that we would marry our spouse. We have received our spouse from the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And we simply receive the arrangement that he has ordained for us, and we're grateful, we're thankful. If we are not filled with Christ, if we're not living in love and light, we simply will be snared by the evil one to make this kind of comparison.
Mm. Well, it's not just the wives that are on the test. Actually, as we find out, and will find out, the test that the husbands are required to pass here in the context of the marriage life is even higher. Of course, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the same way, the husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Here's Witness Lee once more.
Now we come to the husband. The husband love must be like that of Christ. And the love of Christ was to give up himself. We husbands must qualify ourselves by giving ourselves up for the wives. Now you can see there are two requirements. One concerning the wives, one concerning the husbands. Be honest, which requirement of these two is heavier? The requirement on the husband is much heavier. Why? Because to submit to others is not so hard as to give up yourself for others. To give up yourself means to be a martyr, to sacrifice your life. You have to love your wife at such a cost. Then, Paul is very sharp. Husbands, you have to love your wife as your own body. Paul says, there's no one that hates his body. Everyone loves his body. So, you have to realize your wife is just a part of your body. You have to love your wife as your own bodies. By what way? By two ways, nourishing and cherishing. To nourish your wife, it doesn't mean to serve your wife with food. It means what? It means to take in something for the need of your wife. To take care of your wife's need. You may never serve any food to your wife in the whole life, but every day you nourish her, just as you nourish your body. You take in something to meet that need. And this is the real love. Nourish is just to take care of the supply to meet the need. Then what is cherish? You know, this word is used for the birds. The mother bird softens the little birds by their arms, which render a very tender heat. And her wings embracing and covering all these birds with a kind of a heat, so tender. And this kind of tender heat softens the cold birds. For so many years, I do love the Lord, but too many times, I became a cold bird. I don't rebel the Lord. I don't say anything bad, but I become cold. But you know what? The Lord Jesus always is stretching out His wings to cover me and to embrace me and to warm me up. Until this warming up softens the cold birds. This is the tender love. No word can describe the tenderness. You see, such warming love.
That's a very sweet portion, Bob. First, of course, I think all the husbands should have been touched, impressed, maybe convicted by the kind of love that is required here, a love that is willing to give ourselves up for the object of that love, in this case our wives. This is a standard that is higher than our capacity, isn't it, Bob?
I would certainly say so. The hardest thing we can do is to give up ourself, because we are, in our natural life, very self-centered. And this really, I think, is the fundamental problem for any kind of human relationship. The self is the real problem. But if we are filled with the Lord, again, we come back to the matter of being filled with Christ, mm-hmm. because the standard here is that we should love our wives as Christ loved the church. How can we love in the way that Christ loves? Well, we can if we're filled with Him. Then spontaneously, we can love our wives with the love with which Christ loves the church. Yeah. This is a divine, a marvelous reality that we are whatever Christ is when we're filled in our spirit with Him. What He is, what He has, becomes our enjoyment and even is lived out of us and expressed through us in the most intimate relationship known to man, the relationship of marriage. I really appreciate this kind of love is very tender.
Yes.
And it's supplying love. It's a nourishing love, not necessarily feeding with physical food, but it supplies whenever there's a need. It just meets the need. It's a love that meets the need in a tender, cherishing, nourishing way.
Yeah, what about this cherishing aspect? It's a cherishing love, and I dug in a little bit. The etymology of this word in Greek actually comes from the picture he gave of the mother bird or hen, you know, enveloping her young with the warmth of her wings. This is a real kind of cherishing, and we experience it from the Lord, at least I hope we all do. And now this is the kind of love that is installed in us in the divine life that should operate towards our wives. Wonderful, isn't it?
It is truly wonderful, Chris. What we enjoy of Christ cherishing can actually be lived out of us, the husbands, toward our wives, whenever we are filled with this wonderful Christ. This is truly a marvelous reality.
Well, we kind of went out on a limb at the beginning of the program and promised our listeners a very fresh consideration of what, you know, is a common, ordinary passage in Scripture that everyone has heard time and time again. But boy, we really, I think, experienced it and saw it in a fresh way today, didn't we? The Lord was very merciful.
I feel He was.
Thanks for your help, and as always, I hope you'll come back soon. We love having you in the studio with us, Bob.
And I love to be with you, Chris.
Well, our time is up. Your calls, your emails are very valuable to us and help us know that we're reaching you and that you're getting help from these messages. In addition, it gives us a way to tell you about the things that we have at Living Stream Ministry to supplement these radio programs. You'll call us toll-free 888-543-3788. And join us again tomorrow. We have Christ in the Church aspect of Ephesians 5. You will not want to miss these messages ahead. So join us then. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thanks so much for listening today.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying this program online or on a smartphone right now? Did you know there's much more from Living Stream Ministry that you can carry with you? Go to lsm.org/epublications to discover all that we have available for your tablet, e-reader, or smartphone. We support Kindle, Nook, iSilo, and EPUB formats, which means you can read this ministry on any PC, Mac, Android, Palm, BlackBerry, Sony, or Linux device. Everything from the recovery version of the Bible to the complete life study messages and a vast array of other titles by Witness Lee and Watchman Nee are now just a touch away. The Word of God is rich and weighty, but now you can take it with you wherever you go. Again, the website, lsm.org/epublications. Thanks for listening today.